Chapter 5. One day, during the young Duke's visit, he and Virginia rode their horses to Brockley Meadows. She tore her skirt so badly going through a bush that when they returned, she decided to enter the mansion through the back staircase so that she wouldn't be seen. As she passed the tapestry chamber, she noticed that the door was open and that there was someone inside. Thinking that it was her mother's maid, she decided to go and ask the woman to mend her skirt. To her immense surprise, however, it was the Canterville ghost himself. He was sitting by the window, watching the leaves fall off the trees. He looked very sad. Virginia's first idea had been to run to her room and lock her door. However, she felt so sorry for him that she decided to stay and try to console him. Her footsteps were very light, and his melancholy was so deep that he didn't notice her presence in the room until she spoke to him.
"I feel very sorry for you," she said, "but my brothers are returning to school in Eton tomorrow. If you are polite, I'm sure that no one will bother you."
"It's absurd to ask me to be polite," answered the ghost. "Quite absurd. I must make noises with my chains. I must groan and walk around the house at night. It is my only reason for existing."
"It is no reason at all for existing. You know that you have been very wicked," said Virginia. "On the day that we arrived here, Mrs. Umney told us that you had killed your wife."
"Well, I admit it," said the ghost, "but it was a purely family matter."
"It is very wrong to kill anyone," said Virginia.
"My wife wasn't attractive. She didn't care for my clothes properly and cooked terribly. But it doesn't matter any more. It's all over. However, I don't think it was very nice of her brothers to starve me to death, even though I had killed her."
"They starved you to death? Oh, Mr. Ghost, Sir Simon, are you hungry? I have a sandwich in my bag. Would you like it?"
"No, thank you. I never eat anything now, but thank you for offering. You are much nicer than the rest of your horrible, rude, vulgar, dishonest family."
"Stop!" cried Virginia. "It is you who are rude, horrible, and vulgar. It is you who are dishonest. You stole my paints to make that bloodstain reappear in the library. First you took all my reds, and I couldn't paint any more sunsets. Then you took my greens and yellows. Finally, I had nothing but indigo and Chinese white. I could only paint moonlight scenes. You'll notice that I never told my family your secret, although I was very angry with you. Anyway, the whole thing is ridiculous. No one has ever heard of emerald green blood."
"Well, what was I supposed to do?" replied the ghost. "It is very difficult to get real blood these days. Anyway, it was your brother who started everything with his Paragon detergent. I saw no reason why I shouldn't use your paint. As for the colour of the blood, that is always a matter of taste. For example, the Cantervilles have blue blood, the bluest in England. However, I know that you Americans aren't interested in these kinds of things."
"You know nothing about Americans. The best thing that you can do is to emigrate and improve your mind. My father will be happy to give you a free passage. Once you are in New York, I'm sure that you will be a great success. I know many people who would give a fortune to have a family ghost." I don't think that I would like America.
Virginia looked at him for a moment.
Good evening. I'm going to ask Papa to get an extra week of holidays for the twins.
Please, don't go, Miss Virginia, he cried. I am so lonely and so unhappy. I don't know what to do. I want to go to sleep, but I can't.
That's absurd. You simply go to bed and blow out the candle. I think that it's difficult to stay awake sometimes, especially in church. Why, even babies know how to sleep.
I haven't slept for 300 years, he said sadly. Virginia's beautiful blue eyes opened wide in wonder. I have not slept for 300 years, and I am so tired.
Virginia didn't say a word. She approached him quietly and knelt down next to him. She looked into his old face.
Poor, poor ghost, she murmured. Don't you have a place where you can sleep?
Yes, he answered in a low, distant voice.
There is a little garden far away beyond the pine woods. The grass grows long and deep there. The birds sing all night. They sing all night as the cold crystal moon looks down on the garden. The trees in the garden extend their giant arms over the sleepers. Tears came to Virginia's eyes, and she covered her face with her hands.
You're talking about the Garden of Death, aren't you? She whispered.
Yes, death. Death must be so beautiful. I long to lie in the soft brown earth and feel the grass moving above my head, to listen to silence, to have no yesterday and no tomorrow, to forget time, to forgive life, to be at peace. The ghost looked into Virginia's eyes.
You can help me. You can open the gates of death's house for me. Love is always with you, and love is stronger than death.
Virginia suddenly felt very cold. For a few moments there was only silence. It seemed as though she was in a dream. When the ghost spoke again, his voice sounded like the wind murmuring. Have you read the prophecy in the library window?
Oh, often, cried the girl, looking up. I know it quite well. It is painted in curious black letters, and it is difficult to read. There are only 6 lines.
When a golden girl can win prayer from the lips of sin, when the empty almond tree has fruit, and a little child gives away her tears, then the whole house will be still, and peace will come to Canterville.
But I don't know what it means.
It means, he said sadly, that you must cry for my sins for me, because I have no tears. You must pray with me for my soul, because I have no faith. Then, if you have always been sweet and good and gentle, the angel of death will forgive me and take me with him. You will see horrible figures in the darkness. Evil voices will whisper in your ear. Don't worry, they won't hurt you. The forces of hell have no power over the purity of a little child. For a few minutes, Virginia said nothing. The ghost began to despair. Suddenly, she stood up. She was very pale and had a strange look in her eyes.
I am not afraid, she said firmly.
I will ask the angel of death to forgive you." He rose from his seat and gave a small cry of joy. The ghost took Virginia's hand and kissed it. His fingers were as cold as ice, and his lips burned like fire. Virginia didn't hesitate as he took her across the room. An old tapestry hung on the wall opposite them. The hunters on it came to life as the ghost and Virginia approached it. They moved their arms and cried, "Go back, little Virginia, go back!" The ghost held her hand more tightly and she closed her eyes. The carvings on the chimney also began to move, murmuring, "Stop, Virginia, we may never see you again." The ghost continued walking, and Virginia didn't listen to the warnings. When they reached the end of the room, the ghost stopped. He whispered some words that she didn't understand. She opened her eyes and saw the wall disappear. A great black cave appeared before her. A cold wind blew around them, and she felt something pulling at her dress. "Quick!" cried the ghost. "Quick, or it will be too late!" A moment later, the tapestry chamber was empty.